This the Splatfest for this week is, do you like pulp or in your orange juice or no pulp?
Pulp.
Pulp all the way.
Yeah, it was funny to listen to Pearl and Marina fight over that. And Pearl was like, all right, look, some things were just said.
Yeah, I screenshotted a couple of those things that Pearl said.
Like Marina's like, I don't want to have to floss my teeth after I drink something.
People who don't like pulp are broken inside, and I don't trust them.
Yeah. Pretty harsh. But pulp is gross and disgusting, and no one should drink it.
If you're not chewing your orange juice, you're not doing it right.
I'm pretty sure
Marina's I hear you.
What, all three of you?
Pulp.
Man, gross.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to episode 418 of the Nintendo Wiki podcast for June 18th, 2018. I'm your host, Tony, and joining me, as he does every week, we've got Shelby.
Really landed on June a lot harder than I was expecting.
I'm sorry. I thought that was a little bit harsh there at the...
Threw me. I don't know. I guess in my head I was expecting you to say January, which that doesn't make any sense either, so...
It is way too hot for it to be January.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a thing, you know.
There were also a lot of 18s in that introduction.
Were there? June 18th, 2018?
Episode 418.
Oh man, so, I didn't even realize.
This is the 18 episode.
What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Well,
if you don't It know, means this po- the podcast can vote.
Okay.
That lovely voice you heard there was Shannon.
I know. You know what? We're already past the intros at this point, right?
I think so.
No, except we're actually still in the intro.
Yeah, this is still technically the introduction.
And since Ethan hasn't been introduced, well...
But his name has been said now, so he can speak.
Maybe.
Okay, now we're out of the intros. What do you want to do, Shannon?
No, I was just going to say, like, who waits for an introduction? I mean, we don't need to do that.
Ethan usually does.
Well, I'm not Ethan. I'm Shannon.
That's true.
Ethan only does it out of fear that the second he speaks up, we're going to kick him off of this podcast forever. Which, you know, maybe someday he'll want to just pull that ripcord and that's his out.
Just, I'm done. I'm speaking before spoken to.
Saving that for the last day.
Well, before we get out of this introduction, we have a prize to give away.
Oh man, top of the show, huh?
You remember last week we talked about it.
I do. Remind people because
we are we're giving away a copy of Shaq Fu on the Switch.
Yeah.
And I have that winner's name. Do you guys want to hear it?
Absolutely.
What was the contest?
The contest was for people to send in their best photoshops of Tingle Shack.
Okay. Have I seen all of these?
You sent I a believe bunch the you other have.
Day. Okay. Because we there were some pretty good ones.
Yes. There were some really good ones. And the winner of that copy of Shaq Fu is Charlie.
Okay.
Congratulations, sir.
So, great. Charlie,
you've won a game that shouldn't exist.
But is fun. So there's that. So yes, Charlie, send me an email, podcast@nintendo-oki.com, and I will get that download code for Shaq Fu out to you. I think, Shannon, he was aiming these directly at you, his entries.
You know what? He nailed it. That I laughed audibly looking at this stuff when you guys sent it in the line chat and some of the ones that you tagged me in on Twitter. These were excellent.
He took Tingle Shack literally and put Shack into that game that you love so much.
It was freshly picked Tingle's Shaq Fu Rupee Land or something to that effect. It was excellent.
So yes. And I think my favorite one was the Green Giant one. That one.
That was pretty good.
Or the one where the Incredible Hulk was throwing Tingle Shack into the trash can. So, Yeah, those are on Twitter for anybody that wants to see those Photoshops as well. You can just check out our Twitter page and they'll all be there for you to see those. But yes, Charlie is the winner. Congratulations. You have won that game that, as Shelby said, should not exist.
Yeah, that's a phrase. Congratulations, you've won Shaq Fu. Oh.
Who would have ever thought those words would come out of our mouth?
You know, first time for everything, I guess.
It's true. At least it's not the first Shaq Fu game.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want that. No. This is the actual, no. This is the good Shaq Fu game. This is the one where they figured it all out.
So, well, there you go. That's an introduction, folks. That's what that is. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk about some of the video games that we've been playing. Okay, well, at the risk of breaking a news story during this segment, Ethan, I have to know about one of the games that you've been playing this week.
Okay, so Destiny 2.
Okay, awesome. Yes, Destiny 3 was announced this week.
What?
No. What?
I didn't catch all the E3 news, but I'm pretty sure somebody would have mentioned that to me.
Oh, all right, man. So what did you do in Destiny this week?
I started the Xbox One version.
Okay.
Ethan, what are you
doing? Any particular reason why?
No. Just, I was like, well, I guess I can start this and for no reason.
Just because you have an Xbox One and you have a copy of Destiny 2, and you might as well.
I updated the system. I cleared out room on there, installed the game, updated the game. Might as well use it, right?
That sounds like too much work, what you just did right
there. You don't sound like you particularly want to play it. You sound like it's just you have nothing better to do.
It's just that the start on there, while it's good, I'm on my seventh Guardian now, and it kind of loses its charm since it was also the beta test as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the announcement of, you know, Destiny stuff, so I'm kind of happy with it either way.
Yeah.
Destiny 2, kind of happy with it. Put it on the back of the box.
Let's see. A Hat in Time.
Okay, I'm interested in hearing about this, because this is one of those games I've wanted to play.
This is a Valve game?
No, it's not.
It is on Steam. And it's on PS4 and Xbox One?
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't looked into that. I know it's on PS4.
What is this game?
It is a game that would have fit in perfectly in the, I guess, GameCube era of Nintendo stuff.
Yes, yes, it would have.
It has that, I guess it's kind of like Banjo-Kazooie, where you have all the collectibles around. Like, you're running around gathering your money, or I guess Mario would be closer to explaining on that. Or closer to my explanation. Grabbing your money every time you go into the levels. Actually, it works a lot like the Mario games, Mario 64.
So it is a platformer, a third-person platformer.
Yes.
3D. Yeah. Okay.
And it's adorable.
And there's a hat.
You're a girl wearing a hat.
Yes. Okay.
And you get different hats that do different things. The first two hats you unlock are the brewing hat, which looks like a
witch's hat.
Yes, and lets you brew potions to throw for an explosive attack.
Okay.
And the other one's I think it's called a sprint hat. So you put it on and you can hold down left trigger and run.
Okay, so the hat you're wearing gives you different powers.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have to eat enemies to get said hats?
No, you have to find yarn.
Okay.
Special yarn, like sprint yarn, brewing yarn. I haven't found any other yarns yet. But I found those two. And in the end, that's pretty important right now.
There you go.
Ended up meeting another character on there. She looks about the same age as the girl you play as on here.
Mm-hmm.
Except she's like little Red Riding Hood, but with a mustache.
What?
Yeah, what?
You sure that's just not a wolf in disguise? She usually has those things go.
Well, she's blonde, and the mustache is also blonde.
Hmm. It seems suspect.
It's very suspect. And she... The first area is... I think it's called Mafia Town. So, it's... it gives me a kind of a vibe of a Delfino Island running around that area.
Okay.
It's from Super Mario Sunshine, for those who didn't play that, possibly. But she's also in that area. I guess she'll show up in other areas as well, and the mustache girl, I mean. And she really hates the Mafia, but I'm wondering if she becomes like the leader of the Mafia at some point.
Maybe she already is the leader of the Mafia.
Maybe.
You're being tricked.
Helping her rise to power by gathering time stuff. Yeah.
You're a patsy.
So, yeah. Hmm?
Nothing. Move on.
Okay. Before I move on, there is two things to say. There is a pressing up on the D-pad and down on the D-pad causes one of two different things to happen depending on which one you push. Pressing up makes I'm going to call her Hat Girl, do a raspberry.
Okay.
And then the other one makes her blow a kiss and a little heart pops out. It's kind of adorable, yeah.
Are they just emotes, or do they have some sort of effect? Like,
do they actually do anything?
They're just emotes, as far as I know.
Okay, they're not going to release an amiibo that has an exclusive emote. Gosh, I hate Dark Souls.
I wish this game was coming to the Switch, but it's not.
That won't stop them from releasing amiibo.
Well, that's amiibo for games that aren't even on the system.
And the last thing I played this week was Skyrim.
Now, this is the one that I was talking about a little while ago that I wanted to hear. And we do have to break some of the news because this was announced during Bethesda's conference. It seemed like a joke, right, Ethan, that they were talking about this?
I mean, you release a new version of Skyrim. Is it a joke? I don't think so.
Okay, what are you playing it on?
An Amazon Echo Dot?
Seriously?
What?
Yeah.
How do you play a video game on an audio format thing that doesn't have a screen? How do you play a game on a thing that only got a screen?
With my voice.
That doesn't answer my question.
Let me break it down into some science for you.
Great.
You ever play a text adventure?
Oh my gosh. A Skyrim text adventure on the Echo.
Just convert the story from text to audio, and your inputs from keyboard to verbal.
Man, I actually kind of want to play this.
At any point, does your Amazon Echo go, you are holding a pot. Would you like to put the pot on the shopkeeper's head and then steal everything?
I have not had that occurrence.
Well, then that's not Skyrim, dang it.
As much as I wish it was, since it's for a joke, it's not a full-fledged realization of a the Elder Scrolls game. But for what it is, it works, and it's fairly interesting, if not a little too simple to play.
All right, so okay. What is it called? Give me the name.
Skyrim, a very special edition?
I think so, yes.
Okay.
You have to go and enable it for your through your Amazon thing, and then you can go, Alexa, open Skyrim. Oh, yeah, good. Mine's muted.
Unmute it. You could be playing Skyrim this whole time.
I could, but, I mean, we got a podcast to do.
Well, so what? How much Skyrim is actually in this game?
I'd said before, it's simplified. It gives you a choice from the very start, where it's you can go this way or you can go this way. You make a choice, and then it says, "This person's needing help. Do you help them? Yes or no?" If you say no, you just go on to the next location and repeat the same process until you say yes. From there, you go into a dungeon. It says, hey, this is what's in front of you. Do you want to fight? Run away? Are you going to use your sword? Are you going to use magic? Or are you going to yell at it? Or, I guess, roar, dragon, whatever you want to call it.
Giant troll swung his club at you. You glitched out, and the physics started flinging you into the air across the entire map of Skyrim. Do you scream yes or no?
Always yes.
I'd be all for that. Since it is voice controlled, it is a little finicky. I tried to cast magic one time and it ended up doing the Fus Roda. It recognized Fus for some reason and said I did a yell attack, which did no damage to the thing I was fighting.
Were you talking about Foosball at the time?
No, I was seeing if I could cast a different spell, but it'll cast whatever it wants. It's not very convenient.
Dang Amazon dots doing whatever they want.
It doesn't seem to save where I'm at on there, which that's fine. It's just if I get disconnected from the Wi-Fi for a second, then it's all my process is gone and I'm back down to level zero with everything and with stuck with a little dagger again. It's kind of annoying, but yeah. Still it's got its charm.
At any point when you're wandering around in the night, do you hear a voice just screaming vengeance?
No.
Oh. Nobody ever played Daggerfall? Fine. You think I'm weird? Sheesh.
I've never actually finished Skyrim because I seem to always break the game before I get there.
Most people probably do.
There's just a creepy part in Daggerfall, Skyrim 2, or Elder Scrolls 2. Skyrim 2. Where you're just wandering around, you just hear like this ghostly voice going, vengeance! And you're like, what the heck is that? Anyway.
It's vengeance. Alright, so what else have you been playing?
That's all I've played.
What are you buying?
There it is. I bought Five Nights at Freddy's, the Twisted Ones. It's a book.
Okay.
Twisted Ones.
It's the second book.
Oh, they're books?
Yep.
What? Novels. Why is everything being turned into a text adventure? What is going on?
Text adventures are coming back.
Yeah. Sure.
Great. Battle Royale text adventure. 100 people drop onto an island reading books.
It's choose your own adventure.
I bet there's one on Alexa. It's like 100 people just yelling at each other until there's one left. I got this one because I already owned the first one and I pre-ordered the third book while I was at it.
Okay.
Just get in deep as you can.
Might as well. I'm also looking forward to the movie whenever that gets around to being done.
You're making a movie?
Yes, they are.
Is Five Nights at Freddy's just that big of a deal because of internet streamers?
I think so.
Like, I realized that the first game seemed to be fine, but then they made another one, and then they just made another. It turned into the Land Before Time at some point.
Shelby, I really need to make you watch some game theory videos on the plots. The story is rather deep. sometimes.
Okay, so you say game theory videos. Is this actually story in the game, or is this just people making up their own Zelda timelines because they want to tie it all together?
I'm talking about MatPat on YouTube. I don't know the game theorist. We'll worry about that later.
I'm not exactly up on YouTube streamers, if you haven't noticed.
Well, I didn't mention Markiplier, even though he plays it all.
Mark McGuire, he's a baseball guy. I've heard of him before.
Steroids.
Okay, you win this time.
dang right. But you forget it.
The other thing I bought was a Super Gun Arcade JAMA. It's an adapter thing for Neo. I'm using this one for the Neo Geo MVS board that I have.
Okay.
This thing's like how do I describe this? This thing is something I was going to build myself, but this is an all-in-one sort of thing. It already has the video connections, the controller adapters, so I can actually use just a regular Neo Geo controller. It's got power buttons and stuff on there. It's cutting out a whole bunch of work I was going to do myself, which is why I was delaying doing it, because there was so much I didn't know.
I don't understand what this is still.
This will allow me to make the motherboard for this motherboard from a Neo Geo arcade machine work again. Without the arcade machine part.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah. It allows you to take an MVS cartridge and play it on a TV?
Technically, yes. I'm running it through an actual MVS motherboard.
So you have motherboard die. You know what? Never mind. I don't care anymore.
No. I have a motherboard from a Neo Geo arcade machine.
What? When did you?
6 months ago.
What are you doing over there? What do they do in Texas?
Stuff.
You're just buying parts of arcade machines. What have you become? I thought it was crazy when you bought an MVS or an AES or whatever the heck you bought, and I thought, it can't get any worse. No, it does. Now you're just buying random parts of arcade machines. And Neo Geo, what's with that?
Well, the idea was to actually take one and turn it back into a bar top arcade instead of just restoring a full arcade, turn it into a bar top arcade, since all I would be getting is the motherboard. Work up from there.
You know what's more of a burden than owning arcade machines? Trying to rebuild one from scratch. What are you doing?
He's going to make his own mini Neo Geo.
I guess. Like, awesome. Like, that's a cool project, but my gosh. Talk about the most terrible burden you can put on yourself.
Yeah. Probably.
Why don't you just start repurposing our pinball machines while you're at it? Just restore them. Like, pull them out of the dump, sand them down, give them new boards and the rubber thingies for the flippers, and sand them down, repaint them, put new glass in them.
Well, when you say it like that, I mean, sure, that's easy enough to do as it is, but here I am with a pachinko machine.
What? I was gone for a bit, I understand, but I listened to all the podcasts. I don't remember these things coming up. You're holding out on us.
You've known about the pachinko machine for a while, right? I
apparently conveniently forgot it.
Okay. I didn't even have to pay for the pachinko machine. That was a gift.
Who gives?
Let
me tell you this, Ethan King. A friend gives you a pachinko machine for a gift? That person's not your friend.
That's my dad.
You know what? There you go. Turns out this whole time, your greatest enemy was that close to you.
My grandma gave it to him as a wedding gift.
Oh, great. It's a family curse. Just being passed down to generations.
Shannon, what have you been playing?
If you tell me you got a pachinko machine now... I will shut this podcast off.
Wait till my buying segment.
Tony, you can't have a pachinko machine. You have small children. They would eat the pachinko balls.
That's true.
Tony's got a patchy slot machine. Heard it plays Metal Gear Solid 3.
That it does.
Now that's a gift for Ethan.
Still waiting on that VR version.
All right, Shannon, what have you been playing?
All right, so this week everything showed up for this new entertainment center monster that is now done, complete, in the room, set up, and wonderful. I would just like to say that the jump from 40 inches to 55 inches is massive. I feel unworthy. it's a huge difference when you put this. I mean, it feels like I'm in a movie theater now to some extent, and I really like this TV.
The floor's all sticky. The teenagers in the back are being mean. Person keeps going up, getting up to go to the bathroom. I always smell burnt popcorn.
Every time I walk into the kitchen, popcorn costs a dollar more.
There's always butter everywhere.
Oh man,
this sounds like a terrible investment.
It's actually quite great though. I mean, I went you know through the whole shebang. I grabbed the 4K PSVR so I could do the 4K HDR pass through. Gosh, all these acronyms, it's just too much. So my PlayStation 4 looks amazing. I went through and just tested some games that I knew had 4K compatibility. I tried out Tomb Raider. It looks really good. I tried out Horizon Zero Dawn. That looks even better than Tomb Raider. I played, I took down three colossi in alternating between the pretty mode and the high frame rate mode. I think I prefer the pretty mode now on the new TV. The 60 frames per second where you get 1080 with 60 frames per second is cool and it feels more fluid, but I just can't get over how good that game looks in 4K. It's amazing. And God of War I have installed, but I have not played it yet. So that, impressions on that forthcoming. I also had a whole bunch of friends over from church on Friday night, and we did board games and video games. And, so I'm just going to kind of run down this list real quick. We pulled out the Taiko drums and we played Taiko no Tatsujin on the PS4 as a group. That was fun. I think everybody was amazed to hear some of these songs, like the Zootopia theme song, or to hear Let It Go from the Disney Frozen movie. Like, you hear those songs in Japanese and you're playing with, you know, the Taiko drums, arcade controllers, while you watch these adorable little drums scream and cheer and just have a blast in the background. It's pretty wonderful. Yes?
You've said drums multiple times, plural.
Taiko.
How many Taiko PS4 drums you got?
I have two of them.
Okay. I didn't know you had more than one.
I'm sorry.
You're holding out on this. Everyone's holding out.
Do you know Shannon's got a kid?
I didn't know that. Come up in the past. I mean, Travis and I sit down and we play that game together. So, after Taiko, I pulled out the Miku controller. That is not plural.
I noticed. I'm listening.
And we,
I totally got plural Miku controllers, by the way. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all.
That Miku controller got passed around, and everybody got to feel the shame of jumping in head first into a brick wall that is playing Project Eva. So, then I showed everybody DJ Max. Nobody wanted to play it.
Yeah, you burn them all with Miku.
It wasn't intentional, but I showed everybody DJ Max, and I played two levels, and I said, "Okay, who wants to go?" And everyone was like, "Nah, I'm good. What's next?"
After that, we busted out DJ Hero and tried to do the turntable thing, busted out my Renegade Edition. Nobody liked that. Then we moved on to that game with the beetle and the thing. Dang it, what's that one called?
Thumper.
Yeah, Thumper.
No, after that we moved on to Dragon Ball FighterZ. And that's we spent a good 30 minutes to an hour just passing the controllers around, everybody having a chance to play as some of the newer characters. Broly seemed to be a favorite. And another character that Bardock, that's a Dragon Ball character that was added recently, right? Right?
Goku's dad, yeah.
Okay. I'm not crazy. I guess I don't remember who Bardock is from watching the show.
He was never actually in the show. It's only in like movies and OVA stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel so stupid now.
Apparently he goes back in time and becomes the first Super Saiyan.
Yeah, well, they've retconned Bardock like multiple times at this point. Like, I don't even know what's going on. You know what? This is not the time or the place.
As we were passing around the controllers for Dragon Ball FighterZ, some of the ladies went and sat in the kitchen and started playing Munchkin. So we decided to
talk about text adventures. To stop playing.
Say it again.
It's like basically a text adventure again.
Yeah. Munchkin's great, man. They were playing like, I think it was the Shakespeare Munchkin, and it was four or five ladies all sitting down at the kitchen table playing, and we decided to, okay, maybe it's time to stop playing video games. So we turned that off and we sat down and started playing Ticket to Ride on the floor. That was an adventure. Have any of you played Ticket to Ride board game?
No.
Okay. This is like, you are, each person is a train tycoon who is trying to build railways across the U.S. So there's like landmark cities and there are open lines across the city or across the country, and you get these tickets at the start of the game that may say, you need to build a railway from Calgary to Salt Lake City, and that's your goal. And it has a particular point value associated with accomplishing that. And at the end of the game, if you built that railway from Calgary to Salt Lake City, you get the points on that card. If you didn't finish that railway, those points count against you. Every train that you place on a rail line earns you points. Everybody has to go around taking turns, drawing cards. Each one of the railways may cost a different color of card. It's fun. It's probably one of the most accessible resource management board games, kind of like Settlers of Catan. It's fun. That was fun. After we finished playing that, we came in and the group of guys that I was playing that with, we sat down at the kitchen table, started playing Munchkin while the ladies went in the living room and started playing Jackbox. So just a fun night of games. That's pretty much all I played, though.
What are you buying?
Oh, I got to take that back. I forgot. I went to Chicago. So I brought a plethora of amazing rhythm games with me on the flight to and from Chicago for work. But we've been over those before. It's nothing really new. The only new kind of to me was like I really dug deep into Miracle Girls Festival, which is essentially Miku on the Vita.
It's basically a Project Diva game and everything but the music, yeah.
Yeah. But man, there's just something so weird about when you finish a festival and you get like that one-on-one with one of those idols and they're just like talking to you. That does it. Just have that little intimate moment where they're like reading you a personal letter that they wrote and I can't understand any of it. And I can't use Google Translate on my phone because I can't use any cellular service on a plane. They have no idea what they said to me.
Yeah, and he is the person so next to you looking over your shoulder going, what's this dude doing?
So the flight there, the flight to Chicago, the woman sitting next to me was a mother with her two kids sitting across the aisle.
She didn't like you.
she was looking over my shoulder on multiple occasions, and all I could imagine is she's just sitting there thinking, oh God, I hope my son doesn't get into this stuff. Oh, I hope he doesn't grow up to be this man. What is this man-child doing?
Are you crying? Are you weeping in the microphone?
Yes. I'm just contemplating my life. Like, you have those moments when you're sitting in a plane with someone you don't know. So it's just such an awkward thing to be trapped in a metal box flying through the air with people you don't know, and you're trying to just keep to yourself, but you know that person's looking over at what you're doing. So fine. Just mostly E3 pre-orders, which we'll talk about when we get to the news.
Okay.
That is it for me, though. Shelby?
Ah.
Tell me about, like, Squid Now, Kid Now, Octolings. What you got going on?
I haven't played much. I have briefly played, and I guess this is kind of spoiling a news story, kind of, maybe? I don't know. But if I don't, I can't talk about anything.
Yeah.
So, the Octoling expansion for Splatoon 2 was kind of just like, oh, it's out now. Here you go.
Yeah, the release date got moved up a month.
Yeah. So Tony told me that, and I found, I don't know, I played maybe like 4-5 of the test chamber things or whatever.
Yeah.
Very brief, maybe only an hour total of the whole thing. That it's just more Splatoon 2 single player levels, which is exactly what I wanted.
Yeah. I've put probably, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours into the game now. With the Octo expansion stuff. I've unlocked 5 of the rail lines, because as you go along, you'll unlock more of the subway lines, and those are where the levels are. I've unlocked, I think, 5 of those. I've gotten so the point of the whole thing is you have to get out from this sort of underground area that you're in, right? And to do that, you collect these 4 thangs, what is what they call them. And I've got 1 of them so far. I just recovered it earlier tonight. So, what do you think of the stuff you've played so far?
I like the presentation stuff a lot as well. When they first said it was going to be test chambers, I mean, that brings to mind Portal.
Mm-hmm.
So it made me think, like, oh, are these going to be a bunch of puzzle rooms? But then they said there was 80 of them. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Maybe it's just more single-player levels, which sounds cool. But I'm like, well, it's going to be a bummer if it's just, like, level, go to the next one, and there's not going to be any filler or any flavor in between. Because that's one thing I love about the Splatoon single-player stuff. It's just, like, Captain Cuttlefish talking to you, or Callie talking to you, and Marie, and all this other stuff. But that's luckily in here because, like, at some point I unlocked a chat room between Pearl, Marina, and Captain Cuttlefish, and they're just, like, talking nonsense back and forth, and it's hysterical. It's Splatoon humor, which is fantastic. Yeah. So, yeah, it's very good. I'm liking it a lot. Also, it, again, proves how terrible I am at Splatoon, because the second I came up against, like, an Octoling and had to actually fight one-on-one, I died, like, 4 times.
Yeah. Some of these test chambers are incredibly hard.
The one with the jetpack, the first one I hit with the jetpack, at least. I'm not off the first line, so I imagine you probably figure out which one I'm talking about, Tony.
Yeah.
I died like a dozen times, probably.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly because I kept getting to the end and couldn't figure out how to end the level, because I couldn't figure out how to get out of the air, because I was just constantly flying because of this jetpack thing. But yeah, I died on that a lot. Yeah. So
I run into problems in this game a lot when there's a time limit, or you have to be incredibly precise with stuff.
Right.
So there are some of the levels, and I don't know if you've gotten to them yet, where they're like, you have to destroy 50 balloons.
Nope, haven't done that.
And it'll bring them to you in these little waves. And you're on this platform. And around the edges of the platform, the balloons will show up. But there are columns every few feet that the balloons can kind of hide behind. And if you don't get them very quickly, they'll float away. And you lose the level and you lose a life. And those types of levels I'm finding I'm having a real hard time with. And it's all because you have to be very quick and you have to be very precise. And I have difficulty with those kinds of things in this game.
Since you've played more than I have, the whole thing is set up so that you pay a fee before you can do whatever test chamber, kind of like it, the whole Subway theme. Like you have to swipe your card and pay the fee. And they give you like 1,000 points at first. And I think each room costs 100 to do. I think
they vary in cost.
They vary. Okay. I haven't gotten any that didn't cost 100, but I was earning 600 for beating a level. So I'm curious if you've gotten anywhere near running out of points. Cause I wonder what happens when you do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What happens?
So if you don't have any, if you don't have enough of your credits to go to that Subway stop, you have to basically go back and replay a level to earn money to go to continue forward.
Okay.
Use some replayability in that. I mean, you can go back and just play the same level with the same weapons and whatever, but a lot of the levels will give you two or three weapons that you can choose from. And so if you, you're like, okay, I want to go back and play this level so I can get some money, but I don't want to do it exactly the same way as I did last time. Pick a different weapon. And, you know, each Subway stop has a weapon it recommends. And then it has a weapon that makes it harder to finish, which will give you more money. And then a weapon that may make it easier to finish, which will give you a little less money.
Interesting. Okay.
And so as you're playing, throughs will give you three chances, you know, you'll lose or lives basically. If you lose three lives, you pay the fee again to go back to the checkpoint that you just passed. So you can just continue to play them over and over. And there have been some levels that it costs me thousands of credits because I was having trouble getting through them.
So I died several times on that jetpack level, like I was talking about. And there was a point where Pearl and Marina were just talking, and I'm pretty sure the implication of this conversation was like they could quote unquote hack the system to where I would get credit for beating this level.
Yes.
Did I interpret that right? Okay. So basically, yes. Like if you get stuck on something like here, you can just pass it.
Yeah. You have to pay the fee again.
Okay.
To do that, but it'll let you pass that so you can continue on.
Okay. That's cool.
You know, when you finish each of the levels, you get those mem cakes is what they call them.
Right.
And that, as you get more and more of those, Agent 8's memory will come back. If you have Callie and Marie hack it so that you just automatically pass the level, you get the mem cake, but it's grayed out, so you don't basically get credit for getting that memory.
Okay.
So there may be parts of the story going on that you won't see if you automatically pass the level. You can go back and replay it and finish it yourself and try to earn that mem cake that way.
Okay. I haven't got enough of those little eraser cake things to even get any hint of that. They all had like haikus almost attached to them, but that's all I saw.
Yeah. And as you earn all those, if you get all of them in a specific line, a Subway line, you can take them to, there's a character that will show up on the Subway. You can take them to him and he'll unlock outfit pieces that you can use when you go back to the multiplayer after you finish the story.
Cool.
So they do a really good job of not punishing if you find certain things hard to do. They give you a way out, but an optional way out if you want. And I think just like in Mario games, there are 80 levels, but you don't have to play all of them to finish the story, essentially.
Well, I'm going to play all of them.
Oh, I am too. But I think I had heard someone say it's somewhere between 30 and 40 if you just want to sort of speed your way through it so you can get the character unlocked for multiplayer.
It was cool to see Octolings wandering around in the square when it turned on. Also, the implication when Pearl and Marina introduced, like, oh, there was like the new content stuff. The way Pearl was talking implied that she did not realize that Marina was an Octoling.
Yeah, I got that sort of thing as well.
It's incredibly obvious. So yeah, I'm like, okay, is that just something that no one has realized in this universe yet? So I thought that was funny.
Yeah. I think it may just be Pearl.
Yeah, it might be. She's a little gangsta thug and she's too dense, maybe. I don't know. She's so short, maybe she can't see up that high. Can't see the top of her head. I also realized, because I was running around, and there was an area open that I had never seen before, and I guess it was the Salmon Run thing.
Yes.
And I walked in there, and they were like, hey, you can't be in here till you're level 4. I thought, well, that confirms that you have to be level 4 to play Salmon Run. Dang it.
Yeah.
I'm still level 0 or 1, I guess, with no points, because I've never played online.
Yeah. If you want to do it, you should, because it'll take maybe an hour or two of multiplayer to get to level 4.
Oh, yeah. I've just never gotten around to playing the online stuff, because I'm not good at it. I enjoy the game, and I get everything I want out of the single-player stuff. So.
And this is I really like this expansion. I think they've done a very good job of giving you more content, and it's going to put all of your skills that you have in Splatoon to the test.
Yeah,
by the time you're done.
I'm happy for it. One other thing I want to mention is when they first announced this, they threw in that, like, oh, if you achieve certain goals, Callie will appear in the area where, or not, I said Callie, yeah. Callie will appear in the Octoling Valley or whatever, where the normal single player stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And they never said what those tasks would be, so I ran in there to see what happened, and she was just there. So I'm not sure what the task was, but apparently I did it. I'm guessing the task must be beat the end boss like 15,000 times, because I've done that.
Yeah, I thought it was just finish the single player story and she would show up.
It probably is. And that must be what they never really said, or at least I never saw what they said.
Yeah.
That they said, but I was worried it was going to be some sort of like super intense like multiplayer online thing, like I have to get to rank X or something like that.
Yeah. No, so, I think you just needed to finish the single player story for her to show up.
Oh, good. That was cool. It was cool to go in there and have more dialogue of them talking and stuff like that, because I like the writing of those games a lot.
Yeah.
But that is all I've played. Yeah, not very much. I want to play more of that, though, so I'm going to try to find some time.
What are you buying?
I didn't buy anything.
All right. Well, there you go. I guess that means it's my turn.
It could be.
Let's see. What have I been playing this week? I played Splatoon 2,
as we
mentioned. And I am playing as a girl because I thought all the guy hairstyles were really bad.
Oh, yeah. The girl. I always play as the girl in Splatoon. They're super cute. The guys are cool looking, but the girls are adorable, like with the tentacle pigtails and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
My squid kid is a guy, but my Octoling I'm playing as a girl.
Oh, man. It's all across the board. I got the short bob going in Splatoon 2. Yeah. Agent 4, man. Rocking it.
There you go. Now let's see, what else did I play? I have to break a news story to talk about what I played. That's the beauty of E3. It was heavily implied and rumored that Fortnite was coming to the Switch. And I saw on Monday that it was basically confirmed that Fortnite would be releasing on the Switch that week. Tuesday, Nintendo, during their E3 Direct, announced Fortnite. It was available right after their E3 presentation. I downloaded it and I've played Fortnite every night this week. So if you don't know what Fortnite is, it is right now the most popular of the Battle Royale style games. So I've been trying to get Ethan to play with me every day this week and he just won't do it.
It's not going to happen, then.
There you go, Ethan. Don't succumb to peer pressure. Stand strong.
No, but I have played with a bunch of different people from the Facebook group. The first night, Federico and I, both brand new players, started playing Fortnite together. And then I think Thursday night, Lang and I played. Last night, a couple other guys from the Facebook group and some of their friends, we got in and played. I am really bad at the shooting aspect of this, but I've come close to winning because I can hide with the best of them.
Oh, I was hoping. Oh, come on, Tony. I was really hoping you're going to say my Minecraft skills are put to the test and I can build with the best of them. You're like, no, I can just be a coward and hide.
No, I find a corner and hide.
Legitimate strategy.
It technically is, and you really can't do that through the game because as the time goes on, the map basically gets smaller and smaller because this deadly storm will start to shrink the battlefield. So it sort of forces players into this central point where they, if they've been hiding,
they have to get in there and try to fight other players if they want to win. I have discovered that you really, if you're playing online with anybody and you want to be successful, you have to have voice chat for this. Luckily, this is the game with the best voice chat on the Switch so far.
That's not saying much, but good.
Because it is unlocked natively without the need to have any kind of additional apps, any kind of anything. You just plug a headset into the headphone jack on the Switch. You can talk to anybody.
Why doesn't it?
Wait, so
why did the people have to buy the thing for the Splatoon 2 one?
I don't know that you absolutely have to. Nintendo may change that at some point.
Why would they come up with this harebrained scheme of connecting your phone to your Switch through this dongle with the headset and the thing and just get you tied in a knot of cords when you could just plug in a thing?
Yeah, you just it was amazing. The first two nights, it didn't work. They hadn't unlocked it yet. The game released on Tuesday. Thursday, there was an update to the game that unlocked native voice chat in it. And not only native voice chat with the Switch, but cross-platform voice chat with the Xbox, the PC, and mobile players as well.
All right, so, Nintendo, what are you doing to me?
It has cross-play with all of those systems except the PS4.
Right. That's standard issue at this point.
And Sony has been under heavy fire this week because of it. So, but yeah, and it works beautifully. So, but like I said, I'm terrible at Fortnite. The building stuff, no, I'm not even going to bother. And I know you really, you have to be decent at building, I think, to be able to win consistently. But I use it to every once in a while climb up to a cliff that I couldn't reach normally. But I can't build fast enough, and that's just something I think may come with time if I would put enough time into the game, to where you can sort of build quick fortifications to protect yourself. Because I've seen some people who are really good at it. I'm just not one of them. But if you do have players that you're playing and you're coordinating and you're talking to each other, it's really, really fun. I see the appeal of Fortnite. I don't know. This may be something I play a lot. It may be something I never touch after a week or so. I don't know. We shall see. But yeah, the voice chat stuff is fantastic on that. And that gives me hope that is something that will be unlocked for other games that could really use it.
Is going the game forward. Free?
The game is free to play, yes.
I couldn't remember if it was if Fortnite was free to play or not. So
yeah, it is free to play. It has the microtransactions to buy cosmetic stuff. So if you want to be a particular character, you have to buy the skin for that character. Otherwise, it just sort of cycles you between four or five different skins. So sometimes you can be a girl, sometimes you can be a guy. It will randomly change that every match, unless you have a particular skin for your character unlocked.
So come September, are you going to have to pay Nintendo for their online thing to play this online?
Probably.
Okay.
For any game that goes online. I mean, there may be exceptions to that rule, because I think even on the PS4, there are exceptions to that. With things like the D&D game, the MMO, you don't have to be a Plus member on PlayStation to play something like that. So there could be exceptions to that on Nintendo's system as well.
Yeah, I wondered if Fortnite, if Epic had enough oomph, they were just like, no, we're doing ours free.
There may be, and there may be some kind of deal that gets worked out for something like that, but I don't know. Especially because it seems like Epic has figured out stuff that Nintendo hasn't figured out on their own system yet.
Apparently they figured out, oh, we can just plug a headset in this thing and it works. Wow, cool.
Yeah, right now I think it has to be through the headphone jack. I've heard some people saying they were able to plug a USB headset into that, but I couldn't get it to work. So you have to have something plugged into that. So if you're on the TV, unless you have a wireless thing that you can plug into the headphone jack, you're going to have a really long extension cord for your headphone or for your headset to plug it directly into the system. So, but it works great if you've got one, which is really, I think that's sort of a little embarrassing that Nintendo made people go through such a hassle to get voice chat to work with Splatoon when a third party just said, just plug a headset in, it works fine.
Yeah, it's weird. But very so. Nintendo.
Yeah. Unfortunately. But yeah, that's all that I have been playing this week.
What are you buying?
I didn't buy anything. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I think E3 happened this week, so we might talk a little bit about that.
Yay.
Guys, like I said, E3 happened this week. So let's go through some of the highlights of stuff that happened. And I think we talked last week just about EA, I believe, because that was the one that happened on Saturday. Microsoft had their conference on Sunday. They talked a lot. They were very proud of the word exclusive during their conference. Like, yeah. Every video that had, they were, if it was an exclusive of any kind, whether it was a console exclusive, a, you know, Xbox exclusive, whatever, they used that word as often as they could.
Well, they had to let you know because they had 50 different games that were showing off.
That's true. They did say they showed off 50 different games. I think they started their conference with Halo.
Yes. So,
Halo Infinite was announced.
Which was ironic because, hey, this is Halo Infinite, and it's like barely a teaser trailer. Moving on.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what was that? Was that more Halo? Oh, it's gone. Oh.
That was Master Chief. Is this now Halo we're on to 6? Something else.
Like, what? Oh, you're not going to tell me? Okay. I haven't played Halo 5 yet.
He's not wearing his helmet. Pan to the right and up a bit.
Yeah, you still don't get to see his face.
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with that. I don't know if that's supposed to be Halo 6 or if it's going to be something else. Maybe it's a mobile game. I don't know.
It's Halo Battle Royale.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they didn't show anything other than a trailer with some environmental type stuff. There was no gameplay at all for that. Let's see. Fallout 76 was shown off a little bit during that. We'll talk about that a little bit more during Bethesda's conference. They showed off a trailer for Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, they did.
Everybody showed off a trailer for Kingdom Hearts.
First time Kingdom Hearts
pulled the rug out.
Xbox system.
Man, they pulled the rug out from under all of us. We all got tricked again.
No,
they pushed.
I did not get tricked. There's no way that game's ever coming out. I know it. I don't care. I have no reverence for Kingdom Hearts. I know people do, so I would like that game to come out, but like. There's no way that game's coming out in February.
They were pushing so hard. They kept saying 2018, 2018, 2018, winter, 2018. Yeah. And then they just pushed it back to January 29th.
February. Is it it is January. I think it is January 29th. Yeah.
1/29/19. So.
Yeah. I don't think that game's going to come out.
Ever.
Don't say that. Stop.
That game was announced 5 years ago.
Stop.
Do you know how many companies Disney has bought in the 5 years that game's come out? Disney did not own Star Wars nor Marvel when Kingdom Hearts 3 was announced. Think about that.
Just look, but this so.
Fact check. Oh, somebody fact check that for me. I don't think
so
that
good.
Years ago.
I think you are correct, Shelby. I don't think either of those were owned by Disney.
I'm not trying to bash Kingdom Hearts in any way, Shannon. Don't take it that way. I fear for that game because Square is not making stuff as fast as they were announcing it.
Square has a problem of announcing things far too early.
Right, and that's cool. Like, I'm glad that they're not super secretive about it. Like, it's cool that they're up front instead of people holding on to it until, like, 6 months before it's due, but maybe they're announcing a little too early.
Yeah. I mean, the game looks really good. The stuff they're showing off looks really good. And they showed off Frozen during Microsoft's conference, during Shoney's? Now, that's a different thing altogether.
Man, that'd have been a delicious press conference.
During Sony's press conference,
they got a new breakfast buffet, all new.
Kingdom Hearts 3 breakfast buffet coming 2020.
All the Mickey you can eat.
No, during Sony's press conference, they showed off Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, which I thought looked amazing. That stuff looked really good, but I am not. I don't have any faith that Kingdom Hearts is coming out in January.
I don't have any faith that Kingdom Hearts is coming out ever.
They showed off some really cool gameplay of Forza Horizon 4. That game looks awesome.
Yes, it does. It's the new Animal Crossing.
Wow.
It wasn't live gameplay, though. I don't believe that at all.
Yeah, there's no way that was live. Even though they said it was.
Okay, that was a joke taken from something Joe said in a line chat because they added new seasons to the Forza Horizon game.
Oh, I thought yeah. Okay, I thought you meant you're just addicted to Forza Horizon if it were Animal Crossing.
No. I mean, well, you do get to buy a house in the new game, and
there's this weird raccoon thing talking about turnips.
It's like, from what I understand, it's now a shared world, so it's like always online with. They said something up to like 96 or 7, like a very large number of people online in the same server at the same time. And then the season changes every week. So every month you will have a week of winter, a week of autumn, a week of fall, a week of spring, a week of summer. So
all five
seasons.
Looks
really cool. Yeah. As long as Rover doesn't jump in my Ferrari and start giving me beef, we're all right.
The first person you see when you start Forza Horizon 4 is Tom Nook. He's like, I got a cool car for you.
If Rover ever came anywhere near anything I ever owned, I'd be so angry. I hate Rover so much.
Then they showed off trailers for The Division and Dying Light 2. Both of those games are interesting looking.
Tony.
What?
No, nothing. Go on.
Devil May Cry 5 was revealed.
That was kind of a surprise to me. The fact that it was Devil May Cry 5 and not DMC 2.
Yeah, so, and Ethan, you saw something at the end of this trailer, I thought you said that.
No, at the end of the trailer, they showed Dante on the motorcycle.
Okay.
And if, I mean, he's aged quite a bit, so that's a thing. But I think the last time he was on a motorcycle, canon-wise, story-plot-wise, was Devil May Cry 2's ending.
Really?
Yeah, on his trip to hell.
Yeah. So, I mean, does this being called Devil May Cry 5 and not DMC, does that give anybody any indication of what this might be?
DMC was its own thing. This is just Devil May Cry proper.
Yeah, this is a continuation of Devil May Cry. I mean, they showed both Dante and Nero in that trailer. So that to me says this is just after Devil May Cry 4.
Okay.
Yep.
And then they showed off three different Gears of War games. And they got everybody at the beginning because they showed off the Gears logo. You heard the sound of the chainsaw revving up and coming through and breaking open the screen, and then a Pop figure shows up.
Oh my gosh! I hate Funko Pops so much, but I was so excited because I knew the internet would just be angry if Gears of War 7 or whatever was just Funko Pops. I so wanted that to be a thing.
That would have been awesome if Gears 5 was just a Pop figure game. But no, this is a mobile game with the Funko Pop characters art style. So yeah. And then they showed off one that I'm really interested in, and that is a tactics Gears of War style game, which looks really cool. All top down, turn-based tactics style gameplay type stuff. And then they, of course, followed that up with Gears of War 5.
Yeah,
I haven't played 3 yet. I'm a little behind.
I haven't played anything since like the second one. So that was a series that I just I couldn't get into as much as I wanted to.
I want to know where that story goes. The two left on a cliffhanger, but I've just never. I'm probably never going to play Gears of War 3. I probably should just admit that to myself.
You should just YouTube that at this point.
Yeah, maybe.
So, and Microsoft started to end their conference there, but then they got hacked. And
so goofy.
They showed off a trailer for Cyberpunk 2077, which is made by CD Projekt Red.
People, what made The Witcher? So I wonder what Phil Spencer did. Like, clearly he knew what was coming. But he was up there talking, and then the feed or whatever I'm watching like splits, and it was like some sort of like dot matrix screen with like red text and stuff like that. Did he just like, oh no? Did he like try to sell it on stage or whatever? Or did he just walk off?
I think he just went quiet at that point.
Okay, it'd been kind of cool if he just started yelling at people like, get the feedback up.
They just turned his mic off.
So, and the game looks really cool. A lot of people were very, very excited when they showed off more of this, because I think this is something that's been known for a while, and there's been a little bit of footage shown off, but this was the first time they sort of went extended with the trailer.
Yeah, so I don't know that I saw anything other than a trailer. Did they ever show any gameplay? I think some people were getting behind closed doors demos.
I think so. And on stage itself, they just showed the trailer.
Yeah. Like, it looks there was, very cyberpunky, so.
Yeah, there was mention that it's going to be first person.
Okay. I never played The Witcher, but I know those games, like, get super deep with, like, their level of detail. And those games, like, ever since they've Witcher 1, they've just continued to improve and be more critically acclaimed. So, people seem to be rather excited about this one, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think Bethesda then followed Microsoft on Sunday night.
And they showed their own Kingdom Hearts trailer.
Yeah, they showed up. No, they didn't. there's no Fallout Kingdom Hearts crossover just yet.
Not yet. Wait till Kingdom Hearts 3. 356 over 76. 358 over Vault 76.
Kingdom Hearts, my gosh. No, Bethesda started their conference with a musical act.
Really?
Yes. And it was all tied to the new trailer for and gameplay they showed off for Rage 2.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing.
Yeah. It was weird. It was really weird. Because the song didn't seem like it went with the game in any way. It wasn't like, I don't know that it was something from the soundtrack. It was just weird. If you haven't seen it, go watch it.
Yeah, and then the gameplay trailer, there was like a severe lack of music in my case.
Really?
Yeah, they started playing that one song near the end of it, but I don't recall any music being played during the actual gameplay other than near the end.
Rage looks kind of cool. Some interesting powers and things they were showing off with that gameplay. They announced a new mobile Elder Scrolls game called Elder Scrolls Blades. But this is actually also coming to other systems, I believe.
Yes.
I know it's coming to Switch. I think PS4 and Xbox as well. But they hyped this up as like a full Elder Scrolls experience for mobile.
Mm-hmm.
Where you could play using... You can tap on the screen to move, or you can use invisible analog sticks and buttons, and you know, it has all the combat and magic and stuff like that from the Elder Scrolls series. They showed off pretty much just mobile stuff, and they talked about how you'd be able to play it in landscape or portrait mode, depending on how you want to hold the phone. That's completely up to you. But then they did also say that this would be coming to consoles as well. Showed off a trailer for Doom Eternal, which is the sequel to Doom.
This looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if they said what systems this was coming to, if it was just PS4 and Xbox, or if this would come to Switch as well at some point, or if they even mentioned it.
And most likely, same as last time.
Then they showed a trailer for Wolfenstein The Youngblood, which stars BJ Blazkowicz's twin daughters. It's set in the 80s. And it will be a co-op game, they said. You will be able to play the entire thing in co-op. They showed off Fallout 76.
Yep.
And they talked about that. They did say this will be an entirely online game. Talked about how you'd be able to hijack nuclear missiles and shoot them at other players and completely change the landscape of what is going on in the map. So this seems like it's a bit of a Fallout MMO style game. So then Fallout Shelter is now available on PS4 and Switch. That is the free to play mobile game where you build your Fallout shelter, inhabit it with people, and try to make it as big and successful as you possibly can. And then immediately after that, they ended their conference with two brand new games. One game that is a new franchise for them, they said, called, which does take place in space. And then The Elder Scrolls 6 was teased.
But it's not Skyrim.
It is not Skyrim. It is a brand new Elder Scrolls game. So get ready for that in about 4 years.
Right.
So that was Bethesda's trailer, or Bethesda's conference. Ubisoft had theirs. They showed off Just Dance, and they are bringing Just Dance to the Wii.
What? And the Wii U.
Yes. Ubisoft is releasing a brand new Wii game this year.
Well, there's millions of them out there. I'm sure they won't have any trouble selling it.
Those games must sell on the Wii if they're still going to make a game for that system.
I mean, there's still tons of nursing homes and probably child care centers. And I mean, just...
Nursing homes like, aren't playing Just Dance. They'll break their hips, Shannon.
Look, when Lauren's granddad was still in the nursing home, they still had Wii bowling nights. So, I don't know.
So there you go. Yes, a brand new Wii game will be coming out this year. Ubisoft showed off brand new footage of Beyond Good and Evil 2. I don't know if...
So
speaking of games that'll never come out.
I'm excited about that. I want to play Beyond Good and Evil 2.
I've never played the first one.
I haven't either. I liked
the first one. I tried playing it. I didn't really care for it.
Ubisoft brought Joseph Gordon-Levitt out on stage with this announcement because his company, Hit Record, is going to allow you to get your own art, music, whatever you want to contribute. Ubisoft is working with them to bring the community into the development of this game, to bring community driven bits to this game. So, and then the trailer ended with Jade showing up, who appears to be the antagonist of the game. So she looked a little bit darker than people might expect. Ubisoft announced a new Trials game coming to the or Xbox One, PC, and Switch. So if you like that motorcycle, you'll be able to do that. Then they showed off some extended looks of The Division 2 and their new pirate game that I think they talked about a little bit last year, Skull and Bones. I think they teased it last year, and this year they showed off some extensive gameplay of that, which looks like if you take all the ship stuff from the Assassin's Creed franchise, take out all the hidey-hidey stabby-stabby and make your own game, that's what Skull and Bones looks like. And then they showed off their new space combat game called Starlink. And they announced during this that the Switch version of this game will have exclusive Star Fox content.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, and this is Ubisoft's Toys to Life game. They are getting into the Toys to Life bit, where you'll be able to buy ships and characters and parts for ships that it can interchange and will appear on screen. The stuff they were showing off with it looked really cool, because like you could have different wings that you could pop on and pull off, and weapons that would attach to those wings, and it was really neat looking.
They're getting into Toys to Life now? Are you
Ubisoft
insane?
Is just now getting into the Toys to Life thing.
Sounds like they started that years ago, but now they're done with it. Now that they know that nobody cares about Toys to Life anymore. Whoops. Don't make the Star Fox stuff. I don't have to buy it.
They're hoping the Star Fox stuff will bring at least the Switch owners, because the starter set for the Switch version of the game will come with an R-Wing and Fox McCloud, and they did say that you would be able to play the entire game as Fox if you wanted. So you could basically make this a Star Fox game.
These don't count as amiibo, do they?
No.
Okay, great.
No, they don't. and they also said that the Switch version of the game will have exclusive Fox missions that will basically tell the story of how Fox has shown up in this universe to help fight off the, you know, alien invasion in Starlink.
A wizard did it.
So, probably. Andross will be involved in some form. Who knows? They showed off some new For Honor content that will be coming out later this year. And then a trailer for Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which takes place in ancient Greece. And you'll be able to choose whether you want to play.
What hat you want to wear.
Well, I'm sure that will happen, but you can also choose whether you want to play as a male or a female character in the game. For the first time, they've had, you know, female playable characters before, but it was just sort of storyline based. And then they showed off the expansion to Mario and Rabbids that features Donkey Kong and all of the content that will be available for that. So,
Princess Daisy in that anywhere?
No, I did not see Daisy in that at all. So, no Daisy in that. And then Sony was on Monday, and I'm going to be honest, I was a little bored watching Sony's conference. I don't know if anybody else.
I missed that one, honestly.
They started off with.
Sony. I thought you said Square.
No, Sony. I didn't see Squares.
Yeah. So. Sony's was boring.
Yep. So, and Sony's was weird too, because they started with The Last of Us, and they showed a pretty extensive look at The Last of Us 2.
No, they started like they were in a banjo. Church, and it was some sort of weird cult meeting or a town hall meeting. It was really weird.
Yeah, it was. And then they got and I forgot they started with a banjo player.
Yeah, which that was awesome. That was a super cool little intimate thing, but it was weird to watch that from, you know, a remote location. But I thought it was kind of cool that all of a sudden they switched to that Last of Us trailer, and they'd basically, the trailer was where they were standing. They had recreated that room. So that was kind of a cool moment. But then they moved everybody to a different room.
Oh, yeah. Weird. So once they got done with The Last of Us, they basically went to a panel of people that were just talking about The Last of Us some more while they moved the entire crowd from one room to another. And it took like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I think.
It was a weird thing. Like, there were people that were at the press conference that didn't know what was happening at the press conference because they were in a hallway between rooms.
Yeah. So The Last of Us, I mean, if you like that first game, you're interested in that, it's more The Last of Us stars Ellie this time as the main character. So there's that. And then after they got done with that, they moved everybody to the new room. They started the next section with another person playing an instrument by themselves on stage.
Also very cool. Also kind of weird to watch as an E3 thing, but a very cool musical performance.
It was. And it was a Japanese sort of reed flute type instrument. And that preceded the debut of a new game called Ghosts of Tsushima.
Yeah.
Which is being made by Sucker Punch.
Yeah. So one thing I do want to say, like, between The Last of Us trailer, which, you know, Naughty Dog is, you know, best in class. They do what they do better than anybody. Mm-hmm. And Ghost of Tsushima also looked incredible, but what stood out to me was, like, the animation stuff in Last of Us is just, I mean, it just looked like real people. It was fluid. Everything went together. It didn't look glitchy. Mm-hmm. And Ghost of Tsushima, while visually looked incredibly stunning, the animation stuff wasn't bad, but compared to the Last of Us stuff, it just stood out so much. So, yeah, that was kind of jarring. Everything I saw in that Sony thing, I was comparing, like, animation-wise to Naughty Dog, which is unfair, but so this is one thing I noticed.
The thing is, I think Sucker Punch is really, really good at environmental modeling. The stuff with, like, Infamous Second Son, that environment looked incredible.
Yeah, the game looked amazing. Like, it was just, but it was just weird, like, held up against Last of Us. The animation stuff kind of stood out to me as janky.
Yeah.
It was just a weird comparison.
That was the thing I noticed with Ghost of Tsushima was all of the stuff going on around the characters with, like, the leaves blowing and the grass moving and all of that kind of stuff. The game looks cool. The one thing I noticed about Sony's conference more than anybody else's was that all of their games looked incredibly violent, like uncomfortably violent at times.
Yeah, the Last of Us stuff. Last of Us has always been pretty gritty. But yeah, watching that, I definitely was like, oof, man, this is a little too much for me.
Well, and that was followed up by, like, Resident Evil 2, the remake of that, which they just started off with a zombie ripping the muscles out of somebody's neck. And so, but before that, they showed off a new game called Control, which I at first thought, before I saw the name of it, I thought, oh, they're making another Infamous game. But then I was like, no, they're not.
Oh, they're making Quantum Break, and this time it's not going to have a TV show in the middle of it.
So, this is made by Remedy, who previously did Quantum Break. There will be no TV show attached with this one. Coming out in 2019. Then they showed off Resident Evil, which is the remake of Resident Evil 2.
I got real excited about that, because I love Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. The release date for that one is January 25th. So, same day as Kingdom Hearts, I think. which they showed off right after Resident Evil. They showed off the Pirates of the Caribbean level of Kingdom Hearts 3. Then, Death Stranding. I have no idea what was going on in this.
Yeah, I don't think anyone does.
That is Kojima. That was a very Kojima production right there, because I had no idea what was going on. They had more stuff with the baby. The main character's carrying around a baby in some vat of something. I have no idea what was going on in that trailer.
It was kind of nice seeing gameplay footage, though.
Yeah, and it looks really good. I mean, that environment looks really cool. And some of the stuff they're showing off, it looks a bit like a ghost story.
It looks a bit like a UPS simulator to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they did. And again, like you were talking about with Last of Us animations, the character animation in Death Stranding looked very, very good.
That game is very expensive, I'm sure.
I'm sure it's costing a lot of money.
It's so weird. Like, at the end of that trailer, there was this big reveal. Oh, well, you never thought you'd see me again, or whatever the heck the thing was. And the lady turns around. I'm like,
who are you?
Who the heck is that? What is this? This has no impact on me, Kojima. I'm sorry.
So, yeah. And they showed off a trailer for Nioh 2. Nioh? I still don't know how to pronounce that game.
I believe it's Nioh.
Okay. And then Sony ended their conference with Spider-Man.
Yay.
That game looks awesome. That was the one game from Sony that stood out to me. Like, okay, that's the game I want to play. Because that game looks really good. So, there you go. That was Sony's conference. Oh, there was some Destiny stuff as well. Ethan, was that a new expansion for Destiny that they were showing off?
Yeah, Destiny 2 Forsaken. It's the next season of, or it's going to be, I guess, year 2 of the DLC, of all the DLC or something on there. dealing with the brother from game coming back, and sure. the loss of Cade 6.
Oh no, Nathan Fillion's going to die.
Some about the rumors of him getting too expensive for voice acting in their
video game. That's probably true.
But I don't know.
So, and then Nintendo was on Tuesday. And let's talk about Nintendo. Because I'm of two very different minds about Nintendo's conference. The first half of it was great. And then they just kept talking about the game we're going to talk about here in a little bit. But they started off with Daemon X Machina, which is a new game from the team that worked on Armored Core. So,
yay.
It is a mech combat game. They showed off a trailer during the presentation. It was about a minute and a half long trailer. And then during the Treehouse stuff later in the week, they showed off a pretty extensive gameplay demo of that game. And it looked really cool. Very quick, sort of fast paced mech combat with giant robotic monsters that you'll be fighting.
Yeah, that kind of, I saw the fast mechs and thought, okay, I don't think I really am interested in this. Fast mechs, not my thing. I need slow, methodical mechs.
You want Battletech mechs and not like Macross mechs.
Yeah, I don't want the fast flying. The fast flying around stuff is fun to watch, but playing, I don't enjoy that. Like the Gundam games have definitely leaned toward that more lately, and I don't really care for it as much.
Yeah. But I think that game looks really cool. I'm interested in seeing some more about it. I like a good mech game, but like you, I lean more towards the Battletech style, the slow, lumbering sort of, they feel real heavy sort of mechs.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in seeing what this is going to be like. They announced a new Mario Party. And I'm actually interested in this because they look like they're going back in time a little bit. They're getting rid of that. We want to speed up the game and make it as fast as possible. Put everybody in the same vehicle and send them off. It looks like they're going back toward like Mario Party 4, 5, 6 with the slower sort of board game type feel to it. I don't know if you guys got that same sort of vibe.
They didn't really show much of the board game stuff. They showed people rolling dice like at the beginning of a match, and then the rest of it was like, oh, here's two switch screens. Oh, here they're at the picnic camping and stuff like this. So yeah, I'm not sure what exactly that game's going to be, how much Mario Party it's going to be if you always have to have two screens.
I did see, you don't always have to have two screens. That is a special mode.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So they did show off some a pretty good bit of this during Treehouse, and they showed off the traditional board game. Each player takes their turn, and once your turn is over, depending on what color spaces you're on, it'll determine whether it's a 1v3, 2v2, 4-player mini game. Toadette is wandering around the board with the stars. 10 coins will get you a star. The person with the most stars at the end wins. So it's very classic Mario Party type feel. But they did show off some other stuff where there are modes where you can put two switches together and do different things. There was one during Treehouse they showed that there were these bananas on the screens, and you had to spin and turn the switch screens to make the bananas fit together. And then you'd swipe across both screens, and that would tell it, okay, these are the two bananas they're doing. And you were trying to get as many of those done as you could. Then they showed off another game that looked kind of like those old tank combat games where you move the switch screens around, set the map up how you want it, swipe across the two screens to connect them together, and then you do your little tank combat type stuff. I think it looks really neat. I'm ready for another really good Mario Party game. The last two or three have been pretty lackluster, I think. I don't know if you guys felt the same way about it. If you've played any of those recent Mario Party games.
Like that, I don't think they've all been, I think 8 was kind of the low point for the most recent stuff. But I think the tech's cool, that two switch screen stuff. That makes me excited for like a Game & Wario or something like that.
Oh man, just imagine a WarioWare style game that WarioWare uses those. That'd be really cool. It showed off a really nice trailer for the new Fire Emblem game, and it has a title, an official title now, called Fire Emblem Three Houses. It is not coming out until next year. That makes me a little sad. But it looks beautiful. They've taken that Fire Emblem Warriors engine, made it look a lot prettier, and put some traditional Fire Emblem stuff behind it.
The more I see Fire Emblem games keep coming out, I just wish they would make... I wish that was an anime so I could just watch it, because I'm probably never going to play that many games.
I'd be all for a Fire Emblem game. And as much as I love these Fire Emblem games coming out, because it is one of my favorite franchises of all time, I want another Advance Wars game from Intelligent Systems. Like, I would
wholeheartedly agree with you.
Love to play a new Advanced Wars game. It has been a long time since we got one of those. I think probably over a decade at this point since the last Advanced Wars game. They've been focused on Fire Emblem since that last DS game, because I don't think we got one on the 3DS at all. What else did they show off during that conference? I'm trying to get to everything before we get to the big one. I think that was pretty much it. They showed off a little bit of Overcooked, a sizzle reel with some stuff. Overcooked 2. They showed that off. Dragon Ball FighterZ is coming to the Switch. They showed off a little bit of Octopath Traveler, announced that there's a demo for that is out now. I've played about 20 minutes of that. It gives you basically the first 3 hours of the game, and gives you all 8 characters that are in the game, lets you play for 3 hours. That save data will transfer over to the main game. They showed off the expansion for Xenoblade Chronicles 2, which will be out later this year. Takes place, I think they said, 500 years before the events of Xenoblade Chronicles 2, but it shows you the story of some of the characters from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. So, there's that. And then that all took the first 15 or 20 minutes of their conference. And then for the last 25 or 30 minutes, they showed off Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just waiting. I mean, as much as I like Smash Brothers, I was waiting for it to end.
I think it's worth saying at this point, we're going to talk about Smash. So if you are the kind of person that doesn't want to hear spoilers about Smash, you might want to tune out for a while.
Yeah, because they talked a lot about Smash during that trailer. So, yeah. So, I mean, if you don't want new characters revealed, gameplay elements, now would be the time to stop listening for a while.
And if you haven't stopped listening yet, well, you did it to yourself. So, everybody.
All right. So, yes, they said everybody is back in this game. Every character that has ever been in Smash Brothers is in this. It's called Smash Brothers Ultimate. So, I mean, they showed off Ice Climbers, Young Link. Who are some of the characters who haven't been in a while?
Pichu, Snake.
Snake. Yes, Snake is back. Voiced by David Hayter.
Yay.
Oh, the voice of Solid Snake.
Yes. Yes.
So, and then they showed off some of the new characters, because you can't have a Smash Brothers game without new characters. And the first new character they showed off, Shelby, I knew you were going to be very excited, because Daisy is now a playable character in Smash Brothers.
I was quite excited, yes.
She is what they're calling an Echo character, which, I think there are two other
Lucina
Echo characters.
Lucina and Pitu, Or Dark
Lucina Pit. And Dark Pit.
Yeah. He's Pitu in my mind always, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, that was amazing. Like, I was super excited to hear that. So Daisy is finally officially in Smash. So she's basically Princess Peach, but she's got her variances, but I'll take it. Mm-hmm. Like, that is amazing. I cannot believe it.
She'll have her own character slot.
Yeah, like you'll actually say Daisy wins or something like that. So,
and I'm assuming there will be, you know, different outfits for her, just like the other characters.
Right.
I
think I saw like basically her in a wedding dress outfit somewhere, screen cap somewhere. So
there's that. And then I think they ended sort of the presentation with the announcement of Ridley as a playable character.
Yeah.
This is, I think, one of the ones that the most requested characters for a while now.
Oh, I would like to mention, by the way, like, remember that whole Smash poll voting thing? Like, vote for who you want in Smash Brothers?
Mm-hmm.
With Ice Climbers and Daisy both being in this game now, I would like to announce I am 100% one for, I am 1,000, or I'm batting 1,000 across the board for the characters that I voted for being in Smash. So
there you go.
I voted for Ice Climber and I voted for Daisy.
And both of them are back. I think those were the only two new characters, I believe.
Yeah, I think Sakurai said, like, hey, since we've been trying to get everybody in here, we're not really looking to add a bunch of new characters. So please understand.
Yeah. What is that? Are there 60 something playable characters now?
Somewhere.
I mean, it's a lot.
There's a lot, yeah.
But yeah, and Ridley looks really cool. He's really big. I think they said they had some trouble really figuring out exactly how to get Ridley in the game properly.
Yeah, that's been always the thing they say. Like, oh, he's too big. I'm like, well, whatever. Shrink him down. All of them are too small.
Just use the 8-bit version of him.
That'd be all right.
So yeah, I mean, they talked about every character, every stage.
They were getting into some granular stuff, like, oh, these characters, we've changed these animations. They were getting into some patch notes, basically.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is awesome for the people that love Smash, and I like Smash and all, but, like, even I at some point was like, man, they're really getting into this.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was watching this Direct, and I thought, okay, yeah, about the 15-minute, 20-minute mark, Smash is a good place to put it and spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about it and then end with some other announcements. And the Smash coverage just kept going. They're like, okay, now we're going to talk about all the changes we made to these characters. And here's how the new characters played. And here's some new items that we've put in the game. And it just kept going and going.
Yeah.
Like you said, they got into some really sort of minute detail type stuff during this presentation about the changes that are being made to this. And they did confirm this is a brand new game. This is not like Smash Brothers for Wii Deluxe or anything like that.
So they, I was wondering about that because it looked a lot like Smash for Wii U. Now, I don't know anything about game development. I don't know if they started with that at the base. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter. I don't really think. I was just kind of curious if, but hearing them say that, like, I don't even know what that means. I guess it doesn't matter. Like, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, a detail into the level design and some of that stuff. That it's not just, they didn't just take all those assets and move them from the Wii U to the Switch. They did some work to enhance all of that stuff.
Like, regardless, they've clearly put an incredible amount of work into it, so.
Yeah. And during the week, Sakurai did say, you know, again, this is the last Smash, at least that he's going to do, I think, is sort of how it should be taken. Because I think he's ready to be done with the series. He has been, I think, for a while, and they just kind of keep bringing him back.
I'll believe it when we have a Nintendo system without a Smash. Or with a Smash that he is clearly not on.
I don't think this is the last Smash. This makes too much money for Nintendo. For it to be the end of the series.
It shouldn't be that hard for them to make it without him anyway at this point.
Yeah, I mean, because Bandai's done a lot of the work for the last, you know, at least for Smash on Wii U and 3DS.
I mean, so realize that, what you're saying. That's like saying, let's make a Zelda game without Aonuma.
Yeah.
I mean, the director plays a pivotal role in creating those games, and he is a very hands-on type person. To his detriment at times.
So. That is true. But you know, that we also would have at one point said, well, you can't have a Mario game without Miyamoto being completely in charge. And we've seen him starting to give control of that series to some other people. So I think if Nintendo wanted to continue Smash or Zelda after their producers have moved on, I think they probably could. But we'll see. But yes, Smash, and they did say December this game is coming out. So that is going to be their big holiday release this year, is Smash Brothers. So, and then during the 3 days of Treehouse, they then went into even more detail for Smash Brothers. The first day, it dominated their coverage. I think 3 out of the 6 games they showed off were Smash Brothers. Day 2 of Treehouse, it almost half of their coverage was Smash. And then on day 3, they started to get into some other games like Mario Party and Daemon X Machina. They showed off some of the gameplay of Mario versus Rabbids and things like that. So
I just really wanted to play Smash.
Basically, what are you guys overall, your thoughts of E3 this year? Who do you think did the best? Who do you think did the worst? What are some of the games you're kind of really interested in seeing now that we've seen all of the E3 presentations for this year?
I think Ghost of Tsushima looks pretty cool. I didn't know anything about that game. I heard a couple people mention it, like maybe in the week leading up to it. So that looks kind of cool. Hopefully it's not an amazing looking game that I don't enjoy playing, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
I was kind of disappointed there was no Metroid news, but whatever.
I was. Yeah, that was really a surprise, I think. I expected a teaser trailer, at least.
Yeah, I was also disappointed there was no word of Persona Q 2, so I'm guessing we'll hear more about that stuff later. So,
yeah, we may get a direct around the end of the summer, the first of the fall, to see some more information about some of those games. No 3DS at all during E3 this year. That was a little bit of a surprise because there are still a couple big games that are coming for the 3DS, but do you think that signals that Nintendo's starting to wind down the 3DS a little bit?
I don't know. Like, every time I think they're done with 3DS, they announce 3 more games, so I'm going to say no.
Okay. What about you, Shannon? What are some of the games that you're looking forward to now that E3 is done?
So I'm actually excited for Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee.
Yeah, that game does look really cool.
Yeah, I really enjoy these Pokemon games, but I don't have the drive to dig into them as deep as someone like Lang does. Like, mm-hmm. Lang dives real hard into the numbers and he gets into the breeding and all of that crazy stuff to make these super overpowered Pokemon that are competition worthy, and I can't do that on those games. Like, I've grasped it a little bit, but nowhere near to where I feel like I could ever be good at it. I feel like the idea behind the Let's Go games, going back to Kanto, you know what, I'm an original 151er. That's where I grew up. That's where you know, it feels nostalgic. Mm-hmm. I like the idea that I don't have to battle a Pokemon to catch it, that they've taken the whole Pokeball throwing and using the berries to kind of like sweeten the Pokemon up before you make them your team. You know, yeah. it kind of brings the game to the anime side of it. Like, you don't ever see Ash having to battle something before. Well, never mind. I guess he kind of did it with that Caterpie in the beginning.
He's more likely to give his Pokemon away.
Yeah. Well, it was really weird for me to see Reggie holding that Pokeball controller. Mm-hmm. I was like, Reggie, why are you trying to play a video game holding a Tic Tac? Because it just looks so small in his hand because he's a giant man.
Yeah. Yeah, that controller's a little weird, I think. It seems a little bit small to me.
I pre-ordered that bundle that comes with the Pokeball, and I'm looking forward to it. And
this will sort of be the perfect introduction for you and Travis to play Pokemon together.
Especially considering the fact that it is multiplayer. Like, I can hand Travis a Joy-Con, and him and I can both roam around the Viridian Forest and just go try and catch Pikachu, or, you know, just go have some fun. I like that idea. I think this is going to be the right kind of casual. I'm also pumped for Kingdom Hearts, but I feel like I had the wool pulled over my eyes again.
You have no one to blame but yourself, Shannon.
I know. It's my own fault for getting hyped for something that's just not going to happen. It wasn't really anywhere at E3, but I'm looking forward to this new WarioWare Gold collection for the 3DS. and Smash Brothers. I mean, it's kind of hard not to get excited for that, especially when you got a group of friends that want to play. So
yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, yeah, Smash is cool, but man, I just didn't really get into Smash 4, so I'm hoping maybe I get into this one more. I don't know.
Well, you'll have all those characters that you can spend time unlocking.
Yeah, I was hoping they would announce a Subspace Emissary thing, and maybe they still will. I doubt it at this point. But
when they were showing off the stuff that eventually became the Ridley reveal, I thought that's what they were hinting at.
I thought the exact same thing. Yeah.
Because I thought, okay, this is going to get me to be super excited for a Smash Brothers game if they bring the single-player campaign back, and then it was the Ridley reveal.
Which is cool, too, so.
So, yeah. I mean, what about you, Ethan? What are the ones you're looking forward to most?
Doom. Anthem. Yeah, I really don't know. I really did enjoy the Bethesda conference, though.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of cool stuff in that conference to talk about, so.
Oh, that FromSoft game that Xbox, during the Xbox conference.
Which
that looked pretty cool.
I don't remember which one that was.
It was the one-armed samurai thing.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember what it's called.
Die twice or live twice or something. I don't know.
Shadows die twice.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So.
That and Devil May Cry 5.
Yeah, I think for me, it's obviously Fire Emblem is the one I'm looking forward to most, and then Spider-Man from Sony's conference. And then I'm hoping Mario Party will be good. It'll have online play, which seems weird to me. Like, I know a lot of people have been asking for it, but I think the big draw of Mario Party is having everybody together in the same room, sort of getting the chance to yell at each other while you're playing.
It's a safety factor. If you're not in the same room, you don't have a chance of actually physically harming each other. So.
That's true. That's true.
Period while you drive to someone else's house angrily.
That is going to be it for the E3 talk. So let's move on to listener feedback for this week. And our first one comes from Cole via Facebook, who wants to know, why is everyone upset about Waluigi not making the roster in Smash? Is it because Table, Potato, and Window were confirmed?
I mean, Table, Potato is a big character. People want that a lot. It was clamored for.
I mean, yeah, I think Waluigi is sort of the one exclusion to the roster that still has people kind of upset that he's not playable.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, if you start asking people who they want in Smash, people are like, where's Shadow? Where's Knuckles? Where's everybody? But I don't know. It was surprising to me that Daisy got in and not Waluigi. So take the victories where I can get them.
People should be asking, where's Big the Cat?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they've ever added more Sonic characters, honestly. I would love to play as Amy and just bash some people with that hammer.
Well, you'll just have to play the Sonic Racing game.
No.
I don't think I can hit people with a hammer in a car.
I bet there's probably a hammer power-up in that game.
Well.
So... But yeah, Waluigi, still an assist trophy, not a playable character. Unfortunately. Sam via Facebook once says, your task is to blow an interview in the first 30 seconds. What do you do?
Like a job interview? Like, that's easy.
like a job interview. What do you do in the first 30 seconds of a job interview?
I walk in, I sneeze on everyone. Then I spill soda on them to clean up. Say, how dare you, slap them across the face, and then sit down. If they still hire me after that, then they got problems.
Shannon, you were laughing rather maniacally.
Well, it depends. I mean, like, I imagine I'm going to work at a department store or some sort of electronics firm, so I start asking some very serious and detailed questions about the security in the building. Just see where it goes.
Not want to get hired at Walmart? Step one, say, I am super enthusiastic to work at Kmart today.
Have you been over to Target? That place is amazing.
Target rocks, man. I wish I could work there, but they wouldn't hire me, so I came over to this slum.
Man, yeah. So, I think we've got that pretty well handled.
Yeah.
So what day? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir. So what day does Loomis show up? Okay.
And where are the cameras?
No, I want to know what the Brink security code is. No, Brinks. Yes, okay. Okay. All the money is kept in what, this safe? Just this one? Huh.
Interesting.
And you have both keys. Okay, well.
All right. Chris via Facebook wants to know, who do we think lost E3?
Why does it have to be a competition?
Yeah,
it's always a competition.
The people that lost E3 are the people that were stuck filtering between rooms during the Sony press conference and not knowing what's going on.
No kidding.
You know who was lost at E3? Everybody who hoped for an Animal Crossing game and didn't get one.
Yeah.
We all lost.
I mean, I'm not sure I really expected one. It would have been nice to see something, but you know, they can't bring you everything you want within the first, you know, 18 months of the system. So, who lost at E3? All the people that had to clean up after everybody.
They get paid.
That's true. That's true. And our last one this week comes from Zachary via Facebook. It's not really a question. He's just happy that we're back on Stitcher.
All right. So I think I know what the problem is, you people. So I noticed that this problem happened when I stopped being on the show. Yep. And I've also noticed that this problem fixed itself when I started being on the show.
Yes.
I think you guys are posting it different than I do.
Maybe.
I did go back and look at all the posts that were made in my absence, and I've changed them to where the only link in those posts is just the podcast link, not like the link to Facebook and all that stuff, and that maybe fixed it, unless somebody else did something else. So, hot tip going forward.
Yeah, I don't know. Noted. I guess the test for that would be to see if the post for the interview we posted on Friday is on Stitcher. Because I did have links to Facebook and some other stuff on there in the post as well.
There you go. Yeah, because it used to be like the HTTPS thing, and you had to take out the S, but you get whoever was posting it was doing that. So I don't know. Or maybe it's just an incredible coincidence. Who knows?
It could be. Who knows? But that will be the show for this week. So if anybody out there has any comments, questions, feedback about anything you heard on the show, send that to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Head on over to YouTube, check out the stuff we got going on over there, or come on over to the Facebook group and talk to us there. Thank you, Ethan, for being on the show.
Yeah, I'm here.
Thank you, Shannon.
Pleasure as always.
And Shelby, as always, thank you for co-hosting this craziness.
Ethan's acting like he roll call, like, oh, I've been here the whole time. I'm here.
I blanked out for a moment, man.
And having said that, we'll see everybody again in 7 days.
Why do I have multiple shots of Snake's butt?
You have to read the
caption. I read it. Like, what's it? Don't get it. It's just a picture of his butt twice.
Her arm cannon packs quite a wallop. If you get hit with a charge shot from that thing, you can kiss your butt goodbye.
I don't get it.
I can't.
People have been saying in the new Smash that he's lost his booty.
It's right there.
I found it.
I don't know what picture
this is. A little difficult to explain to you, Shelby. I'm sorry.
Okay, well.